Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Pastor Tim is not here today. So he has left me the honors. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers have Bibles ready to give to you right away. Yes. Give you a few minutes, a few seconds. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation, and it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. So he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering for forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the door of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word of the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word, and thank you for your revelation of this word, Lord. We ask, Father, that your spirit would speak and would teach and would, Lord, just enlighten us what you would have us to know this morning. And so, Father, we pray for Pastor Tim as well, where he's at. Lord, use him in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So, I may have shared this story before with my oldest son, who's 29 now. He was 13 years old, and I had a birthday party for him, and I invited all the men of the church to it. And there was probably about 40 men who came. And so I wanted to do some kind of word picture. And I had all the men, you know, get in a circle. And then I had my son get in the middle. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to blindfold you, son. And when I call you, I want you to come to me. But the trick is that all these 40 men are going to be calling out to you as well. So you have to recognize my voice." And I thought, oh, this is a great idea, you know. until I realized that it could possibly fail, you know? And my son would go to somebody else. I never thought of that, right? So I thought, oh, yeah, he'll recognize my voice for sure. So we got in, and I twisted him around, put the blindfold on him, and then I told the guys, okay, start calling out to Robbie. And they all started calling out, and then finally I moved myself around, and then I started calling him, and I see his ears perk up, you know, like, oh, I think that was my dad. And so the way I said it, I'm all, Robbie, it's your dad, come here. And then next thing you know, all 40 guys, Robbie, it's your dad, come here. And I'm like, what are these guys doing? They're like mimicking me. Everything that I said, they mimicked me. And I was like, uh-oh, he might not recognize my voice. So I had to say things to Robbie that only he and I would know. But I said it, and finally Robbie just started coming to me because he knew. He knew my voice, and he knew his dad. And so he came to me, and I was like, whew, boy, that was risky. But here we have a story about Samuel, and he didn't recognize the voice of the Lord yet because he didn't know the Lord. And so I want to give you a little bit of counsel on how to recognize the voice of God. You see, Eli gave Samuel some counsel to recognize the voice of God when you're not sure. So let's look at the context of this. So Eli the high priest, it was in a time of Israel's history where there were no more judges, there was no king, and nobody kind of ruled over the people. In the end of Judges, it says that all the people did was right in their own eyes. And so it was kind of a dark time in Israel where there were no judges. Eli had ruled over, or he was the high priest for 40 years. But the problem with it is that Eli's sons were wicked young men. They were part of the priesthood as well, and they were wicked. They used to, when a person would come and offer a sacrifice to the Lord for worship, he would bring it, and a portion went to God, a portion went to the priest, and a portion went to the one offering it. And so the best portion, the fatty portion that was supposed to go to God, these men were taking it. And if they asked for it, and if the person wouldn't give it to them, they would take it by force. And so they would cause the people to not want to worship the Lord anymore. It would cause them not to want to sacrifice anymore. And it also says in chapter 2 that Hophni and Phinehas, they lay with the women who stood at the door of the tabernacle. And so they committed sexual immorality. They turned the people away from God. And their dad, Eli, who was the high priest, should have done something about it. He knew exactly what they were doing. And then the man of God, it says, came to him and rebuked him and said, hey, listen, I'm going to wipe out your house and all your descendants if you do not do something about it. And so Eli rebuked his sons, but he did not discipline his sons. And therefore, God, in all his, you know, grace and his mercy, he began to raise up a young man, Samuel. And he got to the point where Elkanah was a man of God who used to come every year. And he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah had all kinds of children, and Hannah had none. And she prayed, Lord, give me children. And she cried out, and one day she was at the gate, and she was praying to the Lord with her lips only, but in her heart she was asking, Lord, if you give me a son, then I will give him back to you. Only give me a son. And Eli was sitting there at the gate, and he saw her, and he thought she was drunk, and he says, woman, put away your wine and go and get out of here. And she says, I'm not drunk, sir. I'm sorrowful of spirit. And the Lord has grieved my heart, and until now I have poured out my heart before the Lord. He said, go in peace. You have what you have requested of the Lord. And it said at that point, she was never sad again. And the Lord gave her three sons and two daughters after Samuel. But she raised Samuel until he was weaned and then brought him to Eli and said, here, this is what I promised the Lord, to give my son to the priesthood. And so Samuel grew up, and he was about 12 years old at this point in time. And Eli's physical ailments were a picture of the condition of Israel. There was no word. He had no vision anymore. There was no revelation. There was only judgment. And that's what Israel was dealing with. The priesthood was corrupt and his sons were corrupt. And it was a horrible time. And so God decided to raise up Samuel. You see, Proverbs 29:18 says that where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraints. Meaning, when there's no vision, there's no revelation, the people do what they want. They do what is right in their own eyes. And therefore, there was no word. It says, and so the word of the Lord was rare in those days because no one was listening to the Lord anymore. No one was able to speak for the Lord because the Lord couldn't speak to anybody. There was like one man of God, it says. And so the Lord is desiring to speak to and through someone. And I believe the Lord is doing that today. He desires to speak to and through you and I. But can we hear his voice? Can we recognize his voice? So it says in verse 1, it says, so the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. You see, Samuel continues to minister to the Lord before Eli, even though times were dark and the nation of Israel was wicked. He continues to be faithful even when it seemed mundane and fruitless. Samuel didn't allow the corruption of Eli's sons to discourage him. See, he was raised in the same household as these two young boys. Well, they weren't that young. They were old enough to do mischief and to do what they were doing. You see, there's a difference between ministering for the Lord and to the Lord. And it says that Samuel ministered to the Lord. You see, as I'm at home, I may be washing the dishes. I may be, doing some laundry outside, either inside making the bed or mowing the lawn. And I may be doing these things for my wife, but it's doing it for her. But when I rub my wife's feet at night, when I rub her back, when I rub her head, I'm ministering to my wife. And in the same fashion, we can minister for the Lord, but not to the Lord. And I was reminded of a verse in Matthew 25:34. Why don't you turn there? Matthew 25:34. Matthew 25:34 says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you and from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. And I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Man, I kind of remembered that verse this morning, and I was writing it down. I was totally convicted. I mean, here I am ready to, you know, share a word with you guys, and the Lord convicted my heart, like pierced my heart. This last Friday, I had the opportunity to do the funeral service for my cousin. And my cousin, he was 53, about the same age as me. And he died on the street, and he spent probably over the last 30 years, maybe 20 of those years in prison. And he did reach out to me right in the end, like about a month and a half ago. And I called him, and we talked, and he was the best man in my wedding. And man, it was like old times, because me and him were like the best of friends growing up. We were that close. We did everything together. And I remember all those good times, but when it got to a certain point, I didn't know what happened to him. I didn't even know he was in prison. And then if I did know he was in prison, I never visited him. And man, the Lord said, wow, I see this list of things that Jesus will say in that day. And I think, have I done any of these things? Have I fed someone who was hungry? Have I given somebody who was thirsty? Did I take a stranger in? Did I have compassion on the poor? Did I do any of that? Here's a list of what he says he's going to say. And I'm like, Lord, forgive me for not having compassion on those who need compassion. And I was able to share, Christ with my family. I was able to do the service. And then talking to my cousin afterwards, one of my other cousins, his sister, she's all, Robert, I've learned another way of life. She's always struggled with drugs and she's got like six kids, and she doesn't have really a job, and she doesn't have very much money, and she lives in Maui. And she goes, my neighbor, just passed away. And his son had nobody. Nobody. Literally nobody. No mom, no brothers, nobody. She says, you know what? I took him in. And now he's my son. And I treat him that way. And she says, even my kids are like, Mom, what are you doing? She's all, he's got nobody. He needs somebody. And she's just pouring her heart out and how she's loving on this boy who's 21 years old and has nobody. And I'm like, wow. What a way of life. To be able to extend yourself out to those in need. And I'm thinking, man, it's easier to come up here and share the word with you than to do something like that. And man, I felt convicted. And so the Lord is wanting to teach us something through all of this. Recognize his voice. Hear what he has to say. So take heed if you've never done anything on that list. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. You see, Samuel was a godly and obedient boy, serving God wonderfully, yet he had not given his heart to the Lord. You see, even children raised in a godly home need to be converted by the Spirit of God. Just because you were raised in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. You have to heed the call of God. Your children have to be converted. When I'm sharing with people and I hear, I've been a Christian all my life, I look at them like, really? When they tell me that, I'm sorry, you may have told me that before. I'm not talking to you. But when they tell me that, I'm like, no. No. This is my one saying that I always say. You know you're a Christian. You know you're saved when you knew you weren't saved. That's when you know. When you know that you were totally lost and dead in your sin, only then you'll know that you came to Christ. So just don't ever say, "Oh, I've always known the Lord," because you haven't. So yet, Samuel was a godly young man ministering to the Lord daily, and yet he didn't know the Lord. So sometimes we can minister to the Lord and not even know God experientially. We haven't experienced God himself. And so God is wanting us to experience him in the fullness of what he has for us. You see, Samuel had not experienced fellowship with the Lord yet. And I'm sure Eli had told him all about the Lord, what he was doing while he was doing it. But yet he had not fully come into relationship with the Lord himself. And so here it is. Eli gives counsel to Samuel. And there's four things I want you to remember. Four things about recognizing the voice of God. First of all, he says, "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down." What was Eli saying to Samuel? Go make yourself available for God to speak to you. Go back to that place and make yourself available for God to speak into your life. You see, that may consist of being here at church. You're here. And therefore, you're making yourself available for God to speak to you today and to you. Because you're hearing his word. And when you hear his word is going to speak to you. The Holy Spirit is either going to convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Lord is going to tell you something he wants you to know. He's going to give you some insight, you know, into what you have requested of him. Yes, no, or wait, right? Those three questions, those three answers, the Lord always answers. Yes, no, or wait. And so sometimes we have requests of the Lord, and he may say yes or no. But put yourself in a place where God can speak to you. In your quiet time, in a Bible study, you know, in a woman's study, in a group amongst other Christians. Put yourself around other believers that other believers can speak into your life as you pour out your heart and as they pour out their heart to you. Put yourself in that place. Make yourself available for God to speak to you. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. And this is the New Living Translation. You'll love this. It says, "As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Do not make rash promises, and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven, and you are here on earth. So let your words be few." Ladies, can you imagine in the morning if your husband gets up and he's about to go to work and he says, "Okay, I've got 5 minutes to tell you what I want done today. Okay, I want you to do the laundry. I want you to wash the dishes. I want my dinner ready by this time. I want the kids fed, you know, blah, 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 blah." Go on and on. How's that going to make you feel? This is not a day and age where you do that. Now, some of you guys may be like, "I do that every day." Not cool. I think we kind of treat God in that respect. We think that's the relationship that we're to have. That's no marriage, right? I mean, just imagine, you know, husbands, wives getting up. "Okay, I got a laundry list of things you need to fix in this house. You need to do this, you need to do that. You need to fix the door, fix the window, fix the backyard, you know." It's like, there's no relationship in that. It's only you tell me what to do. And I think we do that with God. When we have our quiet time, we got, "Okay, God, I got 5 minutes. Let me let you know what I want from you." And we just, doot, 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 doot. We just pour out these things. Like, God, okay, I want you to fix my circumstance. I want you to make sure that I get that raise. I want you to make sure I get that job. I want to make sure I get that car. So can you make sure it happens? And we tell the Lord what we want of Him every day, rather than sitting before the Lord and just listening to what He has to say. As Ecclesiastes says, so let your words be few. Keep your ears open. James 5 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so, in your quiet times, folks, while you're making yourself available, listen. As you're reading the Word, listen for God to speak. Secondly, Eli says to him, and if he calls you, never be presumptuous about God speaking. Okay? God's not always speaking, but He wants to speak. We always think that God's always speaking and we're just kind of closing our ears. No. It says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. You know why? Because people weren't listening. And if people aren't listening, God's not speaking. If you're not going to listen to what I have to say, you know what? I'm not saying it. Until you slow down enough and you wait and hear what the Lord has to say. You see, the Lord calls you to inform you on something or someone. Or He'll call you to do something. The Lord oftentimes, many times, has called me to do something. He called me to speak at my cousin's funeral. And so I got that word and I said, okay, Lord. I felt it. The Lord spoke to me and I said, okay, Lord, you have to make it happen because my family is trying to have a whole different service with this. Not a Christian service, a whole different service. And I said, oh, Lord, there's no way. There's three of them trying to talk someone into doing it, to the daughter and to the son. And I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to make that happen then if you want me to speak. I said, I'll be willing to. And therefore, they were trying to get all the arrangements, and finally all those arrangements fell through. And at the last minute, they called me and said, hey, can you speak? Of course I can. Of course I can. I'll share. And it's awesome when the Lord kind of speaks to your heart and you know. And so He's going to bring it to fruition. I don't have to do it. I don't have to manipulate my way into doing what I want to do. God will do it if He has called you to do it. He will make it happen. So if the Lord calls you, also He will confirm, listen, He will confirm His word through other sources and through His own word. God will always confirm. He called Samuel three times before Eli finally said, okay, go back and do this. And it's the Lord calling you. So many times the Lord has called me to do something and I've waited to get a confirmation. And that's what you should do. You should wait for a confirmation on the Lord. He will speak through other believers. You'll come up to me and say, hey, I feel like the Lord is saying this. And you'll be like, hallelujah. So, and I've shared this story before. 20 years ago, my wife was working at Fremont Christian. And she was pregnant, ready to have another child. It was our third child. And she was working over there, so we were thinking, wow, we have it great here. You know, our kids going to a private school, we were only paying $50. Fremont Christian, it's like $12,000 for something to send your kid there. It's quite a bit. We were paying $50, so we got it good, right? only paying $50. Plus she was getting paid and our kids were going to school there. Great education, this and that. So my wife, she called me one day. She says, guess what? I'm all wet. She's all, I quit my job. And yeah, I just smiled and like, oh yes, I trust you, honey. I was like, what are you even talking about? You're not going to get unemployment or nothing. You know, I'm here like mad. She says, the Lord called me to homeschool. As much as I don't want to homeschool, she called me to homeschool our kids. I'm like, you didn't tell me that. Maybe because I wasn't listening, right? So she says, listen, God said he will do these three things before the baby comes. I'm all, okay. We'll see. The proof is in the pudding. And those three things happened within a month. Amazing. That's when you know, like, okay, God, you spoke. She listened. And now we have kids who love the Lord and serve the Lord. Because of obedience, we stepped out in faith. She stepped out in faith. I just followed on that one. So, kudos to my wife. Anyways, the Lord will always confirm his word. You see, if he calls you, John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask in the Father's name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And so the Lord has chosen you to be a part of his team. You see, when we were kids, right, and we all played dodgeball, I mean, that was like one of the one things you played, you know, like in sixth grade, fifth grade. Everybody got on the line, and you all got picked, right? So you didn't pick someone to just sit on the sidelines. You pick someone because you want them in the game. So if the Lord has called you, he's not calling you just to sit and do nothing. I know that's kind of like a harsh word, but he called you because he has a purpose and a plan for you, and he's got a ministry for you. Every single one of you, including myself, has a ministry. And if we're not stepping into the ministry, you know what we're doing? We're deceiving ourselves into thinking that we're on the team. Because if the Lord called you, when I pick people for my football team, I pick them because I said, okay, you're playing this position, you're playing that position, I got you for this position. I used to be a coach, and we would make sure we picked the right people for our team that would be best suited. And you're picked on the team of the Lord. Therefore, he's not only called you into salvation, he's called you into a ministry. He has a plan for you, for something for you to do. And if you have not stepped in that yet, maybe you're not listening to what the Lord has called you to. Maybe you've got your ears closed. Because I remember the Lord calling me, and I was like saying, no, Lord, I don't want to come. You know why? Because you're going to make me go to Africa as a missionary. That's exactly what I thought. And you know what? When I got saved, it was like, he didn't call me. 10 years later, after I'd been saved, what? He called me to Africa. And I was ready to go. I was happy to go. We spent 2 weeks in Ghana. And it was the best time of my life. And I was like, wow. Okay, Lord, you were calling me to Africa, but you weren't calling me right away. So the Lord has a ministry for you. He's got something he wants you to do. He wants you to pour out what he has given you. Right? He's giving you something. He's pouring into you so that you can pour out. Otherwise, you're like the Dead Sea, right? Whatever goes in dies because there's no outlet. In the Dead Sea, nothing lives in the Dead Sea because it's got no outlet. It's only got an inlet. And if you just keep receiving, 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 and no outlet, You're going to be like the Dead Sea. Okay, thirdly, first, make yourself available for God to speak. Secondly, never to be presumptuous about God speaking to you if he calls you. Third, respond to the word of God. Eli says, if he calls you, say to him, speak, Lord. Respond to the Lord. Respond. Isaiah in chapter 5, or chapter 6, I think it's chapter 5. There Isaiah's got a vision, and he's there in the temple of the Lord, and he sees the seraphim and the cherubim, and they're flying around, and he's like, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. And the cherubim, he grabbed a coal, touched his lips, and says, you are clean now. And then the Lord says, who shall I send and who will go for us? And it's like Isaiah is just sitting there in the temple like, who? Me? I'm here. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And right away, Isaiah is like, send me, Lord. Send me to speak. Send me to do what you want me to do. And that's how we respond to the Lord. We need to respond with action. Not with just words, but we need to respond to the Lord, acknowledging that you've heard him speak to you.
Yes.
Thank you. Amen. I was going to tell you another story, but that's okay. You don't need to hear that story. Okay, maybe I'll tell you. So, a couple of years after I got saved, right, the pastor had said, hey, I want you to lead a home fellowship group. All right. Actually, I've been saved for like 23 years now. But this was like after the second or third year I was saved. I want you to lead a home fellowship group. I'm like, okay. He said, your wife's got to be there too. You guys both got to be on board and this and that. Oh, okay. And so I'm there praying and this and that. The Lord says, you got to be totally honest with everything about your life to your wife. She may not know something about you. And I'm like, no. I'm not saying anything to my wife. And the Lord kept telling me, no, you've got to talk to your wife about, the bad things you've done in the past. No. Then I finally said, okay, Lord, you have to prepare her heart. You have to go before me before I tell her anything. Otherwise, I'm not going to lead this Bible study. It wasn't that bold, okay? Let's not get that. One day, she says, hey, we're sitting there. Before we even started a Bible study, we're sitting in the car. And she says, hey, if you got anything you need to tell me, tell me. I'm all yours. I don't care what you've done, man. And I poured out my heart to my wife. And there's no secrets amongst us. Nothing. I poured out my heart. I confessed whatever I'd done, my sin, and she forgave me. It just went just like that. And we started a home fellowship group from that point on. And it was powerful. There was 30, 40 people that would show up every Sunday and ministered for seven years doing that. And you know why? Because the Lord he worked that in me. And I had enough of ears to hear what he had to say to me and what to do. And man, when you're listening to the Lord, he's going to call you to do. Don't be like the rich young ruler. You guys all know about the rich young ruler, right? He came before the Lord and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, you know the commandments. Honor your father and mother. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't do this. Don't do that. all the five that pertain to man to man. And he says, Lord, I've done all these since my youth. He says, still you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. He said, the man went away sad because he had many riches. He couldn't give up what was holding him from eternal life. And I think we do that. I think we're holding on to something that, like, we're thinking that this is going to still benefit me. The Lord's saying, let it go. It's holding you back from coming to me fully and completely. Let it go. Otherwise, you're going to walk away just like this rich young ruler walked away. Sad. Last thing. Humble yourself before God and His Word. Eli says, say to the Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Make yourself a servant of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, we're taught as a young age to be proud about everything we do. And yes, there's good pride and there's bad pride. The bad pride is saying, I'm going to do it my way. I did this all on my own. There was nothing that the Lord helped me with. And the Lord wants you to humble yourself before Him and for His Word. Make yourself a servant of the Lord. You see, when I joined the service when I was 18 years old, I signed up to serve wherever they asked me to serve. I really didn't have a choice once I signed those papers. Once you signed up, you know, for the military, you're theirs. They're going to teach you. They're going to train you. They're going to tell you what to do. You don't have an option to say, I don't want to do that today. Because you know what happens? You get reprimanded. You get disciplined. I called the drill sergeant crazy one time. Yeah. That was not good. Drill sergeant took off his hat and he said, what'd you say to me? I'm like, I didn't say nothing. Did you hear him call me crazy? Oh, I said, don't say it. Yes, I did. And I'm like, so he takes off his hat. He chucks it in the air. And everybody's running to catch it to make sure it doesn't hit the ground. Because if it hits the ground, everybody's in trouble. So he calls a bunch of other drill sergeants and say, all stand around me. Got in my face and yelled at me. Get down and do, you know, this and that. Then they said, okay, go get that log over there. We're going to have some fun with this. And I'm just like, okay, I did it now. I was just responding to you calling me Puerto Rican. I'm Hispanic. I'm Mexican. That's what he said to me. He said, all you Puerto Ricans over there, get over here. I'm like, I'm not Puerto Rican? And just my initial reaction was like, man, you're crazy. And that was it. And so I'm there doing log drills all day long, you know, with the big old log, about this big, just up, doing deep knee bends, doing everything. I'm just going on and on and on until I can't go no more. You're part of an army. You're part of the Lord's army. Christ has enlisted you into His army. And unless you make yourself a servant that is willing to do what the Lord has called you to do, you're really not in the army. So, I'm telling you, Paul says that you are a soldier in the Lord's army, and that a soldier does not entangle himself with the affairs of this world. You're part of the Lord's army, and the Lord wants you to do something. And so humble yourself before the Lord and before His Word. Lastly, follow through with your calling. Follow through with your calling. Samuel told Eli everything and spoke to him concerning Eli's house and the judgment that was to come. You see, sometimes we may not want to do the Lord's will, or we might not want to do what the Lord is calling us to do because it may hurt our closest friends or family. But sometimes we have to. Sometimes we have to speak and do what the Lord's asked us to do, to rebuke someone, to tell someone the truth about what's going on. The Lord may have called you to a certain ministry and you have not yet stepped out in faith. Now is the time to step out in faith. You see, you have the opportunity to come into a relationship. My thought at first when reading this passage was, is the Lord calling Samuel into a relationship or is he calling him into ministry? Which one is it? You know, because we think they're two different callings. But they're not. They're the same. The Lord was calling Samuel to both, into a relationship with him and into a ministry as well. Samuel grew up to be probably one of the greatest prophets. He's the one who was to choose the next king, the very first king of Israel. He's the one who chose David as king. He was the one who rebuked David. You see, if he can do this for Eli now as a 12-year-old boy, he can do anything for the Lord. What's to come? So if you can do what the Lord has called you in the small things, he's going to give you greater things to do. And that's what the Lord desires. He who is faithful with little is faithful with much. That's the principle. Some of us want the big stuff right away. You know, I want to be a pastor. I've never wanted to be a pastor. Yes. Never. Pastor Tim's always saying, oh, yeah, when I die or when I'm out, you know, you can take over. I'm like, I don't want to take over. I like being just where I'm at. Just what I feel like I'm called to be a support to Pastor Tim. Maybe, you know, see, like Eli. You know, he had to remove Eli from his priesthood. Why do you think Tim's not here? Had to get that in for you, Tim. Had to raise somebody up, move you out of the way. You could tell Tim later on. Listen. You have an opportunity to come into the relationship with the Lord. If I'm just going to give you an altar call now, I'm going to say, listen, don't care what everybody else says. You know why Eli got removed? This is why judgment came. He says, because you honored your sons more than you honored me. What is it that you honor more than the Lord? See, if Pastor Tim stands here every week and says, hey, if you want to receive the Lord, stand up. You know what? I know some people in here want to stand. But you're so afraid of what somebody's going to think of you. I sit back there and pray that you stand up. We're praying. Every one of us who know the Lord is praying that you will stand up. And give your life over to the Lord and say, I want to be in a relationship with Him today. I want to follow the Lord. I want to fulfill my purpose, what the Lord has called me to do. And we're desiring that you just stand and say, today's the day I want to do it. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today is the day. So, if you have never came into a relationship with the Lord, if you have never heard His voice calling you, you're hearing it today. I guarantee it. I'm going to ask you to stand, and when you stand, I'll lead you in a prayer. And all you have to do is pray. Receive Christ into your life and let the Lord and the Spirit work in your life to do the rest. Just listen for the Lord. So, if you want to stand, don't be afraid what anybody's thinking. Their opinion of you is not worth your salvation. Is not worth your salvation. So I'm going to ask you to stand if you want to receive the Lord. If you want to come into a relationship with Him right now, I'm going to ask you to stand. There's no fear. We're all brothers and sisters here. If you've never asked the Lord to come, don't be afraid. Just stand. Just stand. And if you're all Christians here, hallelujah. I'm stoked. I'm excited. But if you don't believe you are, and you haven't heard the call of God in your life, now's the time to stand. Few seconds. Anyone? Okay. It's the last opportunity. The doors of the ark may be closing right now. It's giving you the last opportunity. Okay, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your word. Thank you for what you taught Samuel, how to keep his ears open to listen for you, Lord. To hear your call, to respond to it, Lord, to fulfill it, to walk it out. Lord, thank you that, Lord, you made Samuel a great prophet and priest. And Father, we ask that of you to do for us. I pray, Father, for these who are here, that if they have not responded to your call, that they would respond today. That they would begin to sit and listen before you as they wait upon your voice and your word in their life. May you do your good work in them, Lord, each and every one. And in Christ's name, amen.